You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. Today is Monday, October 14th, 2019. We are doing our Sunday night Twitter question answer as we do every Monday. If you want to be a part of the show, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward, where I send out this tweet about 9 p.m. Pacific time every Sunday. I say, hey, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. The best ones make the show in the morning. This week brings a little bit of a challenge. There is a report out from ESPN in regards to Tyler Skaggs passing and an Angels employee that provided these opioid supplements to Tyler Skaggs on a regular basis. We are going to touch on that after we get into our questions. Before we do that, reminder to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, download today's show or any of the episodes through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya Podcast. You got free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Now, like I said, I do want to take your questions from our Sunday night Twitter question answer. We do that every Monday. I am going to answer your questions in the second segment, but it would be irresponsible of me to answer questions about this ESPN or Outside the Lines report about the Angels employee that did provide opioids for Tyler Skaggs. That would not be proper reporting on my end. It would just be opinion-based, which is not very proper of me to do, and especially with such a touchy subject when it comes to this involving the Drug Enforcement Administration of the United States as well as the Angels organization. And I do not have the facts beyond what this report has. It's the same access that you have to this report. It's the same access I have to this report. I've read multiple reports about this. I have reached out, but I do not have anything that is beyond this report from outside the lines, ESPN. So I'm going to paraphrase this report. And a few of you did ask questions about this, about if the media is going to be ostracized for asking questions about this. How does it impact the Angels managerial search, free agent search? That's more opinion-based, and that's for the players and managers to decide. Do you believe media members are going to be ostracized for digging into this? No, they are not. That is part of their job, and everyone understands that fully. So I'm going to paraphrase this report a little bit. Before I get into this, the Angels employee that did provide opioids for Tyler Skaggs that did lead to his death, his name is Eric Kay. He's a communications director for the Angels. Prior to this report, he was someone I viewed as a friend and someone that I had respect for. Obviously, things have changed. I'm very upset and disappointed in the outcome that is, and that Eric Kay was involved in this. I do hope that Eric does find some help for his drug addiction, but I do also find Eric responsible when it comes to Tyler Skaggs' death and the providing opioids for someone that should not have had them. And that goes not just for Eric, but in an entirety of people that have an opioid addiction. It's a very problematic thing here in the United States and across the world. Opioid addiction is a very serious problem that we have, and not just Eric Kay, but all those that have opioid addictions. Please go out and find help where you can so that we don't have to have these kind of reports once again. Whether you are involved in the baseball community or outside the baseball community, you are cared about. And this opioid addiction is a serious problem that we want you to have fixed. So please look for help in these situations. Now, as for this ESPN and Outside Lines report, I'm going to paraphrase this, and this is going to be the entirety of the first segment. So this is from ESPN saying that Eric Kay told the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration agents that he provided opioids to Tyler Skaggs. Quoting Eric Kay here, he says, "I felt and continue to feel that it is time for everyone to stand up and take responsibility for their respective roles in this. Nothing anyone does will ever provide closure for the Skaggs family. I can't, the Angels can't, and the courts can't, regardless of what happens there. But at least I can help them know instead of wonder. My hope is that there is some peace in that for them." Kay's attorney, Michael Maffetta, confirmed details of the reports from Outside the Lines, who cited two sources with knowledge of this investigation. Eric Kay is on paid leave from the Angels and is currently in outpatient treatment for opioid addiction. Now, Cade did not believe that he provided the opioids that led to Skaggs' death because Tyler would usually take the pills in front of Kay. It does note that Kay was invited to Skaggs' hotel room the night or morning of his death, where he snorted pills that Kay said he did not provide. Could have been oxycodone, and also another source that he did not recognize. Kay also gave the DA names of five other players within the Angels organization that he believes have used or are using opioids that Skaggs asked to be provided on the player's behalf. Investigators learned of Kay and Skaggs' opioid abuse together that traced back over 4 years through cell phone records and Venmo receipts that ranged from $150 to $600 that were confirmed as drug transactions by the family. Now, Kay goes on in this report to say that he told two team employees, which include Tim Mead and Tom Taylor, who is not noted by ESPN but noted by the LA Times. Now, Tim Mead, a very respected member of the Angels organization, now the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame, he told ESPN that Skaggs' name was not mentioned in conversations that occurred during text messages when Skaggs reached out to Kay during a hospital visit when Eric had an overdose in April hoping to attain opioids. He also noted that he did not have knowledge of Skaggs being an opioid user at any other time. The Angels told ESPN they were unaware of Skaggs' opioid use, and a statement from team president John Carpino noted on Saturday noted the same. That statement reads, "We have never heard that any employee was providing illegal narcotics to any player or that any player was seeking illegal narcotics. The Angels maintain a strict zero-tolerance policy regarding the illicit use of drugs of both players and staff. Every one of our players must also abide by the MLB Joint Drug Agreement. We continue to mourn the loss of Tyler, and we fully cooperate with the authorities as they continue their investigation." Now, following this report being released, Eric Kay did respond with a statement noting, "Watching and reading the sordid details of my own weaknesses unfold on the national stage has been nothing short of horrible. However, I'm aware and respectful of the fact that my pain is entirely insignificant compared to the pain that the Skaggs family is feeling and will continue to feel for the rest of their lives. I made the decision to cooperate with law enforcement because I felt that it was the right thing to do. That is all I can do from this point on. If it comes with public shame and derision, I accept that." And once again, this is a report from ESPN and Outside the Lines. It does leave a lot of questions. What is the future of the Angels organization? What employees and what team executives did or did not know about this opioid use between Kay and Skaggs? What players are or are not using opioids? As mentioned at the outset, it would be irresponsible for me to answer these questions because I do not have the facts. All I have is this report. So when it comes to the future of the Angels, I don't know. When it comes to who is responsible for Tyler Skaggs' death, we do have at least some form of an answer in that case, but we do not have a full answer. Is there a way that this could have been prevented? Possibly. We don't know that answer yet. So I know that patience is a virtue and sometimes it can drive you crazy, but wait until you have these facts before you form a set opinion on this. And obviously, when it comes to reporting, this is a challenging thing because it's an emotional subject for many of us. A lot of us knew Tyler Skaggs. But when it comes to attaining facts and attaining these reports, make sure that you are reading the proper ones. Sadly, I am not as good a reporter as this one from ESPN or as Jeff Fletcher of the Orange County Register or Bill Shagan of the Los Angeles Times. I would love to be, but I am not. So if I have information, I will share that with you. But the majority of my information is going to come from these reports from ESPN, from the Orange County Register, from the Los Angeles Times. And that is where you're going to be getting this information as well. So if you are forming opinions in your own mind and trying to answer questions that do not have answers yet, wait it out, be patient, and wait until these reports come out with factual evidence as to real answers of what is going to happen. Most importantly, though, this is still something that is impacting a family. The Skaggs family will not recover from this. They still lost a son, a brother, a husband. And sadly, this is something that is going on all across the world. This opioid addiction is causing problems for many families all across the world. So if you have a opioid addiction and you are listening to the show, I know that I am someone that you do not know, but please seek help for this opioid addiction. And please, for your family's sake, have it taken care of. Please stop taking opioids for your sake and your family's sake. We do have to move on where we're going to take your questions in our second segment. Before we do that, we do have obligations to our sponsors, such as Breaking Tea. Now, Breaking Tea is a t-shirt company that ties in with the passion moments of sports. These passion moments happen with every team and every fan base, and then Breaking Tea jumps on the moment to make t-shirts that make the moment live forever. When these moments happen, we will join in with Breaking Tea to make these t-shirts available to our listeners through www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. Once again, that's www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. As we continue on with the show, we're going to take your questions here about baseball in general and, of course, your Angels here at Locked On Angels. A little Brad Paisley and Keith Urban take us into the second segment here, where we're going to take your questions from our Sunday night Twitter question answer. We do this every Monday, where I take your questions. I send out a tweet about 9 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday night and say, hey, send me in all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show in the morning. So these are the best ones from our Sunday night Twitter question answer. I'm going to start this one off with one from Chad Dotson at ChadDotson6. Says, when will we know if Mike Trout is the AL MVP? When do they typically announce that? Those are scheduled events, and the finalists will be announced on November 4th. That's all on MLB Network. November 11th, Rookie of the Year. November 12th, Manager of the Year. November 13th, Cy Young. And November 14th, the MVP. Where I think common belief is that Mike Trout will be the American League MVP, understandably, of course. Moving from one award to another award winner, let's take this one about Shohei Ohtani from Fishy Boy at X Fishington. How do you think Shohei Ohtani will pitch, do pitching-wise next year? I think what we saw from his rookie year is kind of what's to be expected. Pretty good stuff. I mean, it's really good stuff. He was worth one win from the WAR measurement. So, you know, you figure that was over 50 innings. Maybe he gets up to 150 innings. He's a three-win pitcher in a sense. So that's kind of what I think you're going to expect, you know, an ERA a little under four, somewhere in the 3.5 range, tons of strikeouts, pretty good walk rate, not a, you know, Shohei Ohtani's one of a kind, so he could be anything from a Cy Young Award winner to, well, just about anything. How about one from Paul Assay at Paul Does Design? And Paul, I know you listen to the show, and I know that I don't want to butcher your name. Paul does a great job with photographs for the AAA Salt Lake Bees. And Paul, if I'm mispronouncing your name, I believe it's Asay. Asay? Man, I'm digging my own grave here. He says, "Will the juiced ball be back for the regular season?" Man, MLB just needs to come out and say that the ball's different. It's ridiculous that they don't. Home run records across the board for Major League Baseball this year. The ball is different. Obviously, there's changes in this. Ball that's being played in the postseason, it's ridiculous. So I don't know, I don't care, just as long as Major League Baseball comes out and says, yeah, we did change it. So I like this one here from JT Wheeler. It's at John Thad 22. If the Angels got Patrick Corbin and had a healthy Shohei Ohtani pitching, assuming healthy hitters and LaStella, Upton, Simmons, are they as good as the Rays or the A's? Now, I kind of went back and figured out, you know, Patrick Corbin was worth 4.8 WAR this year. Shohei Ohtani could have been worth about 3 WAR. Tommy La Stella, if you doubled up, all these guys could have been about 3-win players. So you kind of collect everything, and it would have added about 10, maybe 12 wins, which would have put the Angels right around the 86-win mark. You win a few, you lose a few. The Rays and the A's were in the 90s when it came to wins. So, no, it doesn't seem like they would be. At the same time, you know, there's all kinds of different – you're looking at a rotation that needs help. You're looking at injuries. Obviously, something we talked about in the first segment was losing Tyler Skaggs, a real problem. So, could they be as good as the Rays or the A's? Possibly, but on paper, just looking at paper, they wouldn't have matched up. Few draft questions here. This first one I want to take from Halo Haven at Halo_Haven. Do a great job with their podcast over there. It says, could MLB make the June draft more interesting if teams were able to trade picks like other major sports? I love the draft already as it is. That would have to go through the CBA. Major League Baseball can't just decide that picks are tradable. And the new CBA is going to be next year. Next year, I believe. Something that is talked about whether they can be traded or not, but you start talking about the value of what each pick would be worth. There is a sense that there is a money value that's not the bonus slot value, but the actual like signability value of each pick. So yeah, you could kind of make these trades worth it, but you have to see how far you go. Is it only day one picks? Is it all the way through the 10th round? Can you trade every pick? It gets tricky. But yeah, I mean, they could, but it would be through the CBA, which is the owners and players, not Major League Baseball as a whole entirely. So going on, this one from Brad at UHH Angels fan. Thoughts on NC State catcher Patrick Bailey. I really like Patrick Bailey. He has the capability to catch, has a great arm. He can hit pretty well. I think he's going to be, you know, you talk about grades. I was talking to a scout just today about this, Keibert Ruiz for the Dodgers. He has all these great tools, but when all is said and done, when you mash everything together, he's a 50 grade prospect, an average major leaguer. That's fantastic. I think that Patrick Bailey is going to be an average major league catcher. That said, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you get that at your first round pick and you have a guy that's going out getting 3 wins a year for you. He's a regular 3-4 win player, catching regularly every day. I think that that's kind of an exciting thing. So I'm a big fan of Patrick Bailey. I think he's going to make someone really happy in the first round. Obviously, things can change, but I think that's kind of where you go. Stick this one here from Vincent at VincentPage74. If you were to rank each of Joe Adell's 5 tools, what order would they rank from best to worst? This is hard because Joe Adell just has great tools across the board. He has a good arm. He can hit for power. He's got speed. He can field. I would say his fielding is his worst tool, even though he has a chance to be a Gold Glove caliber fielder in a corner. His arm is fantastic. I would say that's up near the top. Power is outrageous. The raw power is insane. He's going to tap into it. So I'd go with power at 1, arm 2, speed 3rd. He's fast. He's really fast. Maybe he doesn't use the speed as much, so I'm going to switch the hit tool as the 3rd one to the speed, and then his fielding there. But, I mean, they're all such great tools, and he's such a special prospect. Speaking of prospects, this one from Michael, at Michael_643DP. Which prospect in the Angels organization has much potential but doesn't get talked about much? Now, I think there's a word missing, but when we talk about like top 100 potential, we're talking about Jordan Adams, who is an insane athlete, doesn't have a lot of baseball skill set yet, but he went out and showed that he has a ton of baseball skill. When those things start to translate, he's going to be a special player. Chris Rodriguez, you guys know how I feel about him. He's a top 100 prospect in my mind. Special pitcher. So those are the two guys I'm going to go with here. Another question kind of regarding prospects in a sense, not really in a way, is from NMBaseball52. He says, I believe you said something about Jose Briseño being back on a minor league deal in their last podcast. Is that confirmed? That is from Baseball America. They confirmed that. So he is back on a minor league deal. And also, is the Luis Gohara minor league deal happening? I know it was reported on Twitter by some people, but I haven't seen official confirmation. Yes, Luis Gohara is in the Angels organization. They're hoping that he can be healthy. I know that shoulder injuries are really scary, but they're hoping that he's going to be back, as well as Jose Briseño, of course, who is back on a minor league deal, according to Baseball America. Let's go with this one. I did answer this last week, but there's something I want to add to it. It's from Mondo Burger. That's a good one. At Migueroa03. Ooh. Oh, man, that one hurt. What pitcher – see, this is when you guys know that I'm recording live, right? What pitchers other than Garrett Cole do you think the Angels make an offer to? Now, I'm not going to touch on that one because I did last week, so let's go back to last week for there, Miguel. But he says, any position players you think would be a great fit for the Angels regardless of the money? Now, regardless of the money, give me Anthony Rendon. Absolutely. That guy's an MVP caliber player when it comes to offensive performance. And then Yasmani Grandal. How can you not want Yasmani Grandal? I had another question asking if the Angels are going to sign Yasmani Grandal this winter, and I get that every single week. Obviously, the Angels would love to have these players, but it's a scenario of if they have the money, where they're going to go, what the communication's like. So going back a little bit on the draft, I know I'm rushing through this. I'm trying to keep it in the time restraints. This one from G. Oliver at G63Oliver. If the Angels sign a top free agent, I know they lose their second round pick, but if they sign another top free agent, do they lose their third round pick? Now, this goes into, yes, they can, but it goes into the money spent. Now, if the Angels are to spend over $50 million on a contract, which is a likelihood if they're going to sign these top free agents, they're going to lose their first pick that's not in their first unprotected pick. All first round picks are protected now unless you start going over the luxury tax. So yes, they would lose their second round pick. They sign another guy over $50 million, lose that third round pick. Another guy, lose your fourth round pick. It goes on and on. So yes, you have the capability of losing draft picks, but it's not as bad as it used to be where you would lose your first round pick, such as we saw with the Angels in the early 2010s. One last one here from John H. at JohnHolland65 says, Taylor, how's your math? This offseason seems to be a bean keeper's delight. As Halo fans, can we count on Artie Moreno's money on player salaries increasing by 20%? Are Halo fans worth that increase? Question abound. Now, I answered this, and I want to go back to my answer because it was a two-parter, and I've got to go back to my mind. So what I said is I don't like using attendance figures, and I don't. But if the team sold 3 million tickets, which they say they do and everything, average fan is about $75 before you include expenses. So you talk about that's $3 million times 75, that's about $215 million. Does that sound right? $215 million roughly. So that's a pretty good expense. You can bring in a pretty nice contract on ticket sales alone, but you have expenses, but you also have other income that's following with that. Now, I don't have projections available on what is projected for attendance next year, what's projected there, but winning is the best way to enhance fan participation, which would include ticket sales and fans in the stands, buying food, buying jerseys, et cetera, et cetera. So adding key players can actually be looked at as an investment, and you know, maybe they help you to win, which is what the fans want. At the same time, it also is an investment towards selling jerseys, selling seats. And so if you get someone like Garrett Cole, do you think that you know you can see an increase in the payroll 20% because you got Garrett Cole, and you're going to have the jersey sales, the ticket sales on when Garrett Cole pitches? Also, is it going to help you win to give you more games to make money on? That is kind of more the possibility. That's kind of more going into the owner mode of things, is this key player going to sell tickets and give us that? You ask this. It's, are Halo fans worth that increase? That is up to the fan base on if they're going to show up and sell 3 million tickets once again. Are they going to show up and spend money? So the best way that, I mean, you want pure honesty here? The best way to make sure that the Angels get Garrett Cole, everyone go out and buy season tickets and buy jerseys. I mean, the more money that Artie Moreno sees coming in for the Angels, the more money he's going to put into the team. It's that simple. He wants to win. Of course he wants to win. That's a huge thing for an owner. He views it as money. He views it as success. Not just that, but everything that comes with it. So, yes, there is a chance that spending 20% over what you have for player salaries can help you in the long run as an investment. And I do think that that's something. Now, you asked if my math's good. No, it's not. So I could be way off there. But that's just kind of how I figure it. So thank you, everyone, for your questions. I know that this week was very different from what you expected. It's a little shorter of a question and answer here. That first segment, I know it gets touch and go. It's a little bit emotional, especially with what it involves. But it's worth noting that these things, get the facts. Absolutely get the facts before you form an opinion. And if you have an issue or someone you know has an opioid issue, find a way to help them or help yourself through that situation. Thanks for tuning in. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. You want to be a part of next week's show? Make sure you're following us on Twitter at LockedOnAngels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. And look for that tweet at 9 p.m. Pacific time saying, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show on Monday. So you want to be a part of the show on Monday? Look out for that. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks again for tuning in. We always appreciate it. We'll see you in the near future. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward. Stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you soon.